I am sitting in Sylvia Peretta's house at 121 Robert Street, just south of Harvard. I'm sitting here with Sylvia, of course, and with Vittoria and Celia Giannoni, who lived in this neighborhood. Vittoria lived here from 1963 to 69, and Celia lived here from 1962 to 1977. And they're bursting with stories. But first I want to say to Sylvia, thank you very much for bringing us together.
I'm so glad that we were able to do this, yes, finally.
So we've already been chatting, and I had to stop us from chatting because you have so many good stories, I want them on the tape. Maybe each of you could tell me how old you were when you moved here and why you moved to this neighborhood.
Me, I came from Italy and lived with my sister. My sister was living in Robert, I think it was another
Robert.
Yeah. So
you lived at 206 Robert?
Yeah, and before I got married.
And that was 1962?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, 1960 I came from Italy.
Yes.
And then in those 2 years, I met my husband right away because he came and picked us up because they were all in the family here. And he lived with my sister-in-law. So they came and picked us up from the train in the station and come anyway and bring us home. And that's all. I live with my sister for my mother, me, my brother. I live with my sister, and she married.
And you lived on Robert Street?
Robert.
Who else lived in that house on Robert Street?
206?
206,
yeah.
Okay.
It
and
was
who was
my
there?
Sister,
yes,
which she married, was married with the brother of my sister-in-law, which is Nick Hent.
The Peretta family.
The Perettas lived at 206 Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and until I got married, and then I live on 118 Harvard Street. That's until I was 13, 15 years old there. I had my two children, boy and a girl, and 64 and 65.
So you were young when you had your children.
Yeah.
How old were you when you had your children?
Was the Rosalie 20 years.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, the oldest, and 21, my son.
So by 21 you had two children.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and then...
So you lived here for about 15 years once you moved
years,
to
yes.
Robert Street.
Yes, and then my kids are about 11, 12 years when we move up. Mm-hmm. We sold the house and then move up. And then the house I live with my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, which is my husband and brother.
Right.
We have the house, we bought the house together. They were live upstairs and I was living downstairs.
So, and that's the house on Harvard?
On Harvard, the C-118.
Oh, so that's nice. So the family was living so close to each other, upstairs and downstairs.
They had two kids, and two kids of mine. And we lived there for, like I said, until
about 1977.
15
yeah,
years,
yeah.
Because like we buy it together. And... it was beautiful because we have all the family here and the other, you know, my brother-in-law and then the other brother-in-law. Vittoria came from Italy and we joined and the family getting bigger. And we have a lot of party, a lot of gathering with the family and together.
And the kids
were amazing. They love each other, you know, grow up together, and they still do now, you know, because they grow up together. And now they have that closeness. As I remember all the time they spent here too, when they were younger. So
they had a lot of family parties.
Lots of family parties.
Lots of music, lots of dancing.
In my house, it was all the time full.
You mean people were coming and you were feeding them? And
make a pizza.
Of course.
Yeah.
What's that?
Relative.
Yeah.
So you do.
Remember, the old relative, we were an old really quiet, big. Five brothers, five wives, and all the people behind.
And then I had my family come over sometime when they have a party. So you imagine there's a lot of people in my house. And when I have board days or Christmas or those, you know, all the time it was a feast. Like one time when we finish pay the house, that's when my husband bought lambs.
Uh-huh.
And had a barbecue. And my sister-in-law, my sister-in-law father helped to cut pieces, and then we had a lot of barbecue in the backyard.
So to celebrate when you had finally paid off the entire house,
we had
a feast.
We gathered all of my family, my husband family, friends, and we had this big. Gathering.
Everybody of us came along, not even a stranger. No.
Like I say, gathering,
a lot
with
Italian
all the
people,
friends around and here and then.
The immediate area.
Not all.
The immediate area, even the people that were not family would come.
So family came and the people
and
who
the
lived
neighbors,
closest,
the friends.
Yeah,
the neighbors, friends.
They were friends. They would play music together because some of them they knew how to play instruments. They knew how to play the accordion and the saxophone. Lenny Shapiro, do you remember him?
Yeah, but even my brother-in-law, George
played.
So the accordion, the saxophone, what other instruments?
And the guitar. My husband was with the guitar always. Okay.
And they were singing and
they would sing on Harvard
together.
Street.
Yeah.
And they'd all gather around and the women would be dancing on the streets.
Oh my God. And this is Harvard just east of Robert? Where was this?
It would be in front of sort of like where the Harvard Bakery is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Between Feuda and the Harvard Bakery, right in the middle there.
And so, Celia, that's a very nice introduction. Victoria, do you want to talk about what happened when you first came here? Where did you live, and who else lived there at that time?
Are we going to be recording already?
It's all being recorded, definitely.
Okay, because I don't have nothing very good in the beginning to say about Canada.
Well, please talk about that. That's important.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you?
Well, you have to understand that when I came, it's not like them. They were young. I was already a woman. I was 25. I was working in Italy. I was a telephone operator, and I was already get involved with my social life, with the city. Know a lot of Italianos. So when I came in Canada, because my husband was an immigrant. My husband is he graduated from Italy. It's survey. So in 1916, Italy there was. Down completely work. There wasn't work for nobody. You know, not even the people who finished school has a diploma.
Oh, that's hard.
So
hard time.
Everybody, you know, actually our immigration was and most like between 1956 to 1960, 61, 62, which in Italy there was a really horrible time. There
so
was
people
no
were
work,
unemployed.
Absolutely.
Huge.
My husband was to get the diploma in 1956. To 1960, there was no way he can have a job. So George immigrated here, you know, for the same reason, you know, my oldest brother. You know, for the same reason, you know, he came over, you know, he has a horrible life in the beginning, of course, you know. But then you should know my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, I can't describe him. He was a superman.
In what ways?
Superman, because he knows everything. He loves people. People love him. He catches the everything was possible for him to do, go straight, you know. Like I say, in the beginning he has a very bad work, but then, you know, little by little he become, you know, independent. He worked by himself.
He was a woodworker.
Yes, and so when he established himself in this street, you know, Harbor, you know, and in Canada, he found out Canada was a lot to offer, or immigrant. He helped
everybody
from Italy, like his brother, which there were five brothers in Italy, which they don't have a job. So
he brought them
he bring over here with his own Spencer. Okay, after we give it to them and all the back and all, but he rented this. He buy the first thing he did. He buy this house in 93 Harbor, which was a big house, right? And everybody came to the house.
So as soon as somebody got off the boat, they moved into 93
Harbor. He came in to pick us up in the airport, and they bring us here and give us the hospitality. For
he found me a job.
He found the job for everybody, you know. And after, when the person, you know, like for example, my husband, her husband got a job, you know. So little by little, they went to go to Minute. You see, the problem is in my English, it's not very good, you know. I have a very strong accent, you know.
So, but you're speaking very clearly. I'm understanding everything you're saying.
So there is a lot of beautiful things. So he gave it us the guts to go on. So even if for myself, you know, speaking for myself, when I came here, I was very disoriented. Oh my gosh. And I said, oh my gosh, where I came here? What is this country? You know, it was dead, completely dead for me. You know, I was thinking I was in the cemetery. In Italy, our cemetery, it's like this house, like this, a little one. I was crying for so long.
Did you know any English at that time?
No, absolutely nothing. No. Nobody knows any English. Nobody.
So you were 25 years old. Yeah. You had a job. You had a whole social life.
Yes.
And you came here with no language.
To marry my husband because so we came here, you know, and of course we have to work. We can always live on my brother-in-law house. So we started to work. We met the other nice people.
How long did you live at 93 Harbor?
93, 1 year. Then I moved right beside the Fuda, a little bit bright, 103. We bought a house. At that time, I buy the house, was it? $12,600.
Well, it's worth about $1 million.
That's how much we pay. $6,000 each. So our house in there, that is all how much it's about now.
Yeah. So, and when you lived at 93 Harbor, you and your husband were there.
Yes.
Who else was at 93 Harbor at that time?
My brother-in-law George was the owner of the house with his wife and
Maria.
That was Maria and George, my brother-in-law with his wife, and myself with my husband in the house. But then he came along, you know, and before was Emmanuel.
Yeah, before he went Emmanuel.
Before me.
My husband came from Italy. He lived in there.
So George brought everybody and everybody moved into 93 Harbor.
Everybody.
First.
Even first my day. Other brother-in-law, John, with his wife and one boy, again, and their sister with the 8 kids and their husband. So 8 kids plus 10 people, 93 Harbor. Everybody was in 93.
And if I could just interrupt for 1 minute and just say that Uncle George, his wife, Aunt Mary, she was the sister to Mrs. Peretta.
Okay, so that's the connection. With
that's exactly. The connection, and that's how, and Celia's sister,
husband.
Celia's sister's husband is Mrs. Peretta's brother.
Okay.
So we're coming from a very small town in Kokomo, Sicily, and we're coming over, or they were coming over as quite a large group, and they all intermarried in from their small town and came here to start a new life.
And my husband.
But they all lived at 93 Harbor. Yeah. Even this family.
Everybody. Even if the mother-in-law with his husband and the kids, there was in the beginning, you know, that was the start.
Yes, but what a generous man.
Oh my gosh, yeah. My brother-in-law, oh my gosh.
Uncle George became the head woodworker for the Ontario College of Art. And he worked there until he retired, and then he ended up going back to Italy. So he ended up taking his wife, Maria, and then at that point they had a child, little George, and they went back to Italy to retire there.
Yeah.
So he encouraged everybody, welcomed, gave them a life here, and then he's back. Then he moved back.
After many and many years.
After many years, yeah.
But he gave all of us help to everybody, all the paisani. You know, paisani means people from back home.
Uh-huh.
Which was a stranger to him. He always gave help. My brother also came over here. No, he was engaged with a girl in Italy, which the mother wasn't happy to marry my brother. So my brother came in Italy, from Italy here, again, 93 Harvard. You know, and then he moved with me. And it was always sad, you know, because he left the girlfriend in Italy. My brother-in-law, he said to my brother, Michele, why are you so sad? And my brother tell the story. But he doesn't have no money, you know, because in the beginning to come here. He said to me, I'm going to give it to you the money. Go in Italy, go and get your girl, marry her, and coming back. You know, tell me who would do something like this. Wow. And then my brother did it. Mm-hmm. George gave it the money. Of course, after my brother is working, give it back the money,
work,
right?
Of course.
But can you imagine, you know, what type of man it was? This is, we'll never forget.
And then your brother was happy after that.
Happy, and then he stayed after. I buy the house to 103. It is a very big house, you know. And he lived upstairs with his wife, and I live downstairs. Mm-hmm. And they have two children. I have myself two children in the house. So it's too long. You have to put it.
It's not easy to put every little thing in there.
So much life we have. I fall in love after 2 or 3 years. I started to fall in love with the country and stuff like this. But my very love for Canada was when I started to work, which was in 1960. With 1972, 1976.
So you, by that time you had some children?
I have three children.
Yes, three children. But you're saying when you started to work, you became a happier woman.
I have already my three kids, when I have my kids, I stay home to take care of them, you know. I wasn't ever working when my children were small.
Oh, also, they don't allow the husband until they went to complete all day in school. We're not working, we just
we stay
care
home,
the kids.
No, until the kids they were in school, then we started to work, you know. I started to work, you know.
But you're saying the first few years for you were the hardest.
Yeah, because I don't like, you know, I don't know how to speak English, okay? I love the people here in Arbor, to my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, but it's kind of funny, my life, because I don't know them in Italy. We were from the same town, the same small town, but I don't know anybody of them except my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law.
So these
I don't know Celia, I don't know. So to me, they were all strange. The only person, my connection was only George and Maria, and my husband. So I was a little fella, very lonely.
Yeah, at a place, you know.
Then, little by little, I met them, you know. I started to get, because I'm very friendly, you know.
Yes.
I don't need a long time to make a friend, you know.
But you had left you left your home, you left your country. It's a huge adjustment. Yeah,
my mother, my sister, my brother, and all.
For me, it was different because I was young. I was so happy to come over.
And also your family was here.
I was together, you know, coming by my sister.
So
I was very happy.
So you were young and other family members came?
Yeah, well, no, right now, at first it was my sister here. She married, like I said, brother Porretta. And then she called us. So she called my father. So my father came up before us. And then my father called me, my mom, and my two brothers. Actually, three brothers. So and we got, you know, the family was all here, all left in
Italy. That was a different story.
It was sister that she was married and we took her home and we left her. So we feel sorry for her, but we're happy that we're all together here, you know, with my father,
so you
my
came
sister.
You had a lot of family here.
Yeah.
And you, Victoria, you came, no family here at all, except this man you were marrying and his family.
His family, yes.
And you were older and more established back home. In
because my brother, my other two brothers, they came after, you know, many, many years, you know. But then they moved in the States, you know, so I still along here. From the beginning, I still along here. Five of my husband and my kids and my grandchildren, and now it's a different story, you know. Yeah,
very different. But your beginnings here were very different.
Yeah.
Except you both started at 93 Harvard.
This is a 93 here.
We'll look at the pictures after, okay? Because I'm going to make copies of the pictures. But Celia, you started talking about how warm the community was, The family got together, and the neighbors who lived close by came together. So I'd like to stay with that for a few minutes and talk about what it was like, who lived here, and what the atmosphere was like.
You want to say no?
No,
I think it was a beautiful atmosphere. You know, it was a fantastic.
For us it was really nice, all friendly.
No, we were not jealous and nothing.
No.
We don't ever know things like today. They have, you see, now it's different. You know, they look, pick on the dress off, or they look. We were so enjoyed to stay together. You know, we laugh, if we dance, if we play music. We went in the winter time and we went to college and my sister-in-law, myself and all, with the snow like this and buy ice cream and Sicilian ice cream. And people was looking like, you know, we were crazy.
Yeah.
You know? That's, no, we were very happy. We went with the kids on the park, Christie Park. Bring the kids there all together and have fun there with the kids. And then, you know, we stay together. Sometimes the husband and the boys stay together, play cards together, and the wife.
Play cards.
So did you play it behind the store or in the home? Where did you play when all these cards were happening?
They play behind the store.
They did. Why did I guess that?
Oh yeah,
but we.
Yes.
We play in the house.
We play in the house. We play Ramino, Scala 40. I don't know if you heard of those things.
It's a Ramino.
It's a bridge or something.
Yeah, bridge.
And did the men play with the men and the women with the women?
No, sometimes we play during the. Oh, the most beautiful thing we don't have to forget it, Christmas time.
Yeah.
The tombola, you know the tombola.
Bingo.
Where was that?
Again, 93.
My house. 118. Actually, most more fun in there.
I know, but Giorgio for the
for the bingo and the things, bingo, it was in my most of the time, yeah, my family downstairs,
yeah.
And we have I made even bread at home all that time. I wasn't working, I did a little bread, and, you know, and cakes.
So you baked a lot.
I baked before, you know, that's but now I don't bake anymore. But at those times, I was home, and we have a lot of fun, and play cards, we have a lot. All the time my house was...
My sister-in-law Maria was a great cook.
Oh,
she was a cook for everybody and all.
She was.
And she used to make a cannoli, the typical the Sicilian...
She told me.
You know, the cannoli, and she make a cake, she was a very good cook, you know. And in the beginning, for Christmas and New Year, we were all together, you know. But then, by the time the family became big, you know, we split between house and my sister-in-law, Maria house, you know. Don't forget that they don't have no children.
Who had no children?
My brother-in-law, George, and Maria.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, what?
Then after, they asked, they about when he was when they took Nikki.
They took Nick. Mrs. Peretta had four kids, and Mrs. Peretta's sister Maria, George's wife, couldn't have any children, so Mrs. Peretta offered her son Nick. To live with them so that they could have a child to bring up.
Yeah,
and
but
raise.
He was there. He wanted.
He was there until he was 13 years old.
He wanted to.
So he was very young when he moved in with George and Maria.
Yes, he moved. He came from Italy. Nick was born in Italy. He came here in 58 with the family.
At what age?
He was 1 year old, and he came in 58. The whole family did, and then I don't know how long, but it was only a very short period of time, and then Aunt Mary and Uncle George, as we say, Maria and George, took care of him and brought him up and raised him, and so he is sort of the product of Uncle George, we can say.
Yes.
Exactly. He has a lot of the same
qualities,
oh, characteristics, because he grew up with this other family.
He assimilated a lot of Georgian.
Oh, yeah. So those are very nice characteristics.
It was. It made Nick a very successful man.
Yeah.
You know, he learned a lot from his uncle.
Yeah.
But then when he was 13, he chose to go live with his family?
Yes, he asked. And it wasn't that he was upset with the family that he was living with. It was that it's a long story. And to make it short, I'll just say that his grandfather passed away. And Aunt Mary and Mrs. Peretta, the sister, went back to Italy. And they were living on Harvard Street. And Uncle George was taking care of Nick alone. And Nick was at home alone one evening. And he got broken into. And Nick got really scared. So he went to his father, because his father lived very close, and he said, I can't stay there because it's broken. You know, the house got broken into. So the father decided he wanted his son back. And he took him back. And it really hurt Aunt Mary and Uncle George because they loved
Nick. Oh, my gosh.
It was more than a son, if
more,
I can even say
more.
That.
I think of that.
And it really, really hurt. But, you know, when you're 13 and you've got three brothers living with your parents, you know, he wanted to be with his brothers because he wanted to play and be with them.
Oh, sure. It's much more fun.
Yeah, it's much more fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, they always, always, always stayed extremely close.
Close.
Interesting
very, very
story.
Close.
Very close. So, and to me, they're like my in-laws because we did a lot with them as my Nick and I, when we got married, we did everything with Aunt Mary and Uncle George. And we celebrated all celebrations and everything with them. Mm-hmm. Mainly here in this house.
You talked a lot about the family. Whoever came started at 93 Harbord, and then you got your own places. And the family spent a lot of time together. Both generations, your generation and your children. Was there much interacting with other people, or did you really stay with the family only?
Yeah, most of the time the family.
Not too many people came along, and except on occasion of festivities, some people from back home came over to visit us and I stay for afternoon or like this. But really,
so was family. Now, I want to ask another question that's related to this. It sounds as if the Fudos were kind of part of your family.
We have a lot to do with them because they have the store. We shop there, we were in and out. So, and then the husband, like I said, they play together, they were together all the time.
Very nice people.
Yeah, so.
What about Italian people and Portuguese people? Was there much interaction, or mainly the Italians stayed
with
the
Italians? Not when we were.
There wasn't that much.
The Italians came first. Like, there were a lot of, actually, there was a lot of Jewish families here first.
Yes.
Then the Italians came in and immigrated in with the Jewish people. So they became friends amongst each other because everybody sat outside in front of their houses. So they all became friends. And I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, the Portuguese families, they came in the 70s. That's when they started to immigrate over from Portugal. I'm sure there were some that came
before. Not on Arbor.
But not in this area here. It was sort of like late 70s.
A lot later.
A lot later.
I never remember anyone.
Not
in Robert, not in Meningen, no.
Now we still have some Portuguese families on our street, but not a lot of them have moved out as well. So,
Not at that time. I don't remember, not even one. The first Portuguese family I met was when I moved on Brandon Avenue.
Well, when I lived here, I shared a wall with Benny, and his. Fatima, who married Fernando.
Yeah, right.
So
that
was a Portuguese family that I shared a wall with. But just to my left and right across the street were Mario, was Italian. And
And Mario was good friends with my father-in-law.
He sat outside talking about front porch and he watched. That's and he always said to me, if you ever need any help, I'll come.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I must say we were all Italian, like exactly like Sylvia, she said, with the Jewish. We have
all got along. Everybody was very.
We never have no problem, no fight, no screaming, no jealous. I don't remember nothing. Do you remember anything?
I don't remember.
Never. We many times we left the door open during the night.
So you're saying it felt very safe?
Oh my gosh, unbelievable.
Very.
Yeah. We protect one to the other, it was amazing.
Now you talked about the front porch. Can we talk more about that? How people use the front of the homes, the back of the homes?
The front, sometime at night, in the evening, we sit down, we talk, and then
the summer, see people. Until 2, 3 o'clock in the night.
Yeah, people walking around.
The kids are going around.
Yeah, and we watch the kids, we sit in there, and in the front door, to take care of them. We talk, we laugh.
Even
we
the kids, they were in. I never remember the kids fight. They just play.
Like I said, my son is still a remember here. It's a happy life.
And my son too.
So he never forget
His son born the 21st on August 1965, and my son the 23, 1965. We were in the same husband.
We were in the same
room.
We have pictures. We both big and go around. Yeah.
I have all, you know, a very sad story to
the first child.
The first time. We came. We married. She married. We should. In the beginning, from Italy, we decided we were going to get married together, you know. And I don't know her. I know only my brother-in-law. So, but they called me and say, oh, Manuele is going to get married on this date. So
yeah, but that's the same all the time. George and Maria
one who organized everything. So they organized their marriage together, you know. We should marry the same day. But unfortunately, when I went to Rome for the visa, they don't give it to me because they want, you know, I don't remember what they want in war. So my flight was to come here in the beginning of November because then we're going to get married. What day did you marry?
27 October.
So on November, they don't give it to me. So in October, I can be here, you know. So don't decide to get married.
No, 27 October, che dico, it's my birthday. The 20th.
Yeah.
I did the 7 days after my birthday.
Then, you know, so finally they give it to me, the visa. On December, December, I came, December 10th. So I have the flight already, and I came with the plane, and I came December 15, 1962. And then we rearrange again the marriage because we cancel all the things. We have all the invitation, you know, for the date, everything in the hall, everything, you know. So we cancel, you know, we lose the money at that time, we lose the money, but it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then finally I married December 29, 1962.
So you were already married. So you couldn't do it together because you couldn't get her on time.
So this is, it's a little bit confusing maybe the way I say it, but that's it was okay. So I married December 29, which was 15 below 0, and I was dying with my wife present. Santa Agnese. Sometimes on Dundas and it's a Dundas and
Grace.
There is a church, a Catholic church.
It used to be
Dundas and Grace.
Yeah, okay. Something is.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where you got married.
Yeah, and she got married there too.
No, I got married there. No, I got married.
I was 9 years old. I don't know.
No, I got married on Dufferin, Santa Maria degli Angeli. I used to call. Now it's different.
The one that where I used to live at, sometimes where it, I used to live on Brandon.
Dufferin.
And Dufferin and.
And Cosa, where you used to
live. Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, what that's the city down, not down Fort.
Okay, so you're saying that. When I'm going back to the sitting in the front, and used to sit outside till 1-2 in the morning, and that was very pleasant because that doesn't happen anymore.
No, much less. Kidding me.
Yeah, when I lived on Robert Street, we used to sit outside and talk, but that really has changed. What did you have behind your houses at that time? Behind the back.
What do they have now? Just a garden.
Just as like a little bit garden.
A little bit garden.
The backyard was very small. Over
very
here,
small.
There's not much backyard.
Did
you
grow anything back there?
No, not really.
And did
not
you grow anything?
No.
So, so you didn't use the back?
No, just the grass.
Right. Yeah. So you use really you use the front porches more than usual.
We didn't stay much in the back, you know. Because
and what about the back lane? Did anybody use the lanes?
Not really.
We don't have any. My house, there's no lane.
They don't have the lane. We have a lane. But we have the garage, you know. And we always said our life was in the front of the house and live in the backyard. No, even if the kids, they play because there was no danger.
Yes. So they played in the front.
You could see them. In the back, you couldn't see them because the garage was cut your view.
I have a little backyard which they play there. But most of life was in front of the door, no? And back to my story. So when I married, you know, and we got pregnant together.
Even the first time when
the first time that was I talk about the first time. Unfortunately, I was not very lucky, you know. She got the girl Rosalia. I got a baby boy which died the day, you know.
So you gave birth to that boy?
Yes, they destroyed me and. Because it was my daughter was on holiday. It was a very young daughter, and who take care of me. But they did a very bad things with me at my gospel. I have a very bad memory, and so actually, you know, he's supposed to doing something very quick, but. You know, decided.
So the baby died.
The baby died, well, you know.
Supposed to do cesarean.
Should have done a cesarean and didn't do it.
Yeah. He's supposed to do it. Yeah. I was running the hospital up and down with, I don't even want to say, no, I was in condition. Was the baby was off, you know. Right. Anyway, finally, when he took the baby out, you know, the baby was suffocated by the cordon.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and yesterday I went to the cemetery, you know, because they baptized right away him.
Okay. Imagine, we were happy for my and sad for
so her. She was happy with the little girl, I was crying.
Crying, because then I was not really happy because she was seeing my baby too, you know.
A big baby, beautiful baby, you know, healthy, you know, and it was late, he was doing something. As a matter of fact, the people in the hospital, they ask us to do an inquiry, right? But we lost the baby, we lost the money because at the time my husband was working, in the beginning was working in the bank, it was not a very big salary, so we have to have the lawyer. We have to destroy the little cute baby, you know, for doing what, you know. So we decided to not do nothing. So, and they bury him. I still have the Monte Hope cemetery.
Mount Pleasant.
Mm-hmm. No, Monte Hope.
Where's that?
It's right a little bit, is the Monte Pleasant, the Eskimo. It's a little bit up of the cemetery, Monte Pleasant.
Oh, I was mistaken.
Yeah, it's a Monte Hope cemetery. Okay. Yesterday I went because I want to be buried there, I know.
Yeah.
Because my baby's there, so I want
to. You have to go and show me.
Yeah. And then you had three healthy sons.
And then after
that,
God gave it really a blessing on. Yeah. Three other boys.
But what a
very
difficult time that you had a healthy baby and your baby died. So what a hard time.
Yeah, that was a very. That's why I said to you in the beginning, in my beginning in Arbor, it was not very easy.
And then we got pregnant again together.
And then we
you know, these brothers, I think they had some
dialogue.
3 days apart.
Three days. One night and 2 days.
Yes.
They're born, you know. And then finally, Georgia came along, which is my joy. Oh, the other one, and the Melo, you know, they both to grow up together, you know. And that was it. And I put it, like you can see, I put a Georgia in my first son. To honor my brother-in-law.
But I can see the two of you as sisters-in-law are good friends and
very good
family or friends.
The good friend just to now from the beginning until today. You know, I don't know, Celia, really, sometimes maybe we should fight.
Sometimes we should fight.
It's never too late.
No.
So when you come here, what are some of the changes that you see from when you lived here in the 60s and 70s and now you see Harvard Street? Are there some changes that you notice?
You talk about always in Canada or Italy?
Here. No, this neighborhood.
When we were, and now, it's a lot of front, there's a change, the fixing, there's stores now. It's more crowded,
more popular, more other...
There's established businesses now on Harvard.
College, nowadays, you know, because there's a lot of students, still a lot of young people.
And I believe there was cobblestone on the Harvard Street. There was cobblestone.
Really?
At the time, the all big thing was a Cromer Radio.
Yes, yeah. Cromer Radio was at the corner of Harvard, yeah. Or Hatoshi Restaurant, or
that was
Hatoshi
Radio.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah. Moved to Bathurst.
Yes.
Yes.
And Mr. Cromer was very good friends with the George.
Yeah.
He was Italian, or he wasn't?
No, he was German.
But they
became very, very close friends. Mr. Cromer had a bit of a difficult start as well. And Uncle George, helped him out.
Oh, yeah. So, he helped everybody. And then it became a bigger, no, this Cromer Rat. You can see now it's the
it's a
multimillionaire business now. And a very young man, and I remember him, very handsome too. And became a very close friend to my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law learned English so quick. Mm. It's unbelievable,
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Cromer did a lot of, they entertained with them a lot.
And very nice people, and then after many, he was in America, and then after a little bit, he got married with a girl from Austria, I think. The wife was from Austria.
I'm sorry. They got wrong number.
But you're saying it seems more crowded now with
absolutely
with people,
you kidding
home,
me?
Stores,
people,
what
home business, There was no restaurant. One of the first big restaurants, I think, was a Porretta.
Yeah, we were the first ones.
So it was a quiet street. So I guess Harvard Bakery was here and Radio.
Yeah, Harvard Bakery. The store, Fuda.
Yeah.
And then there's
Fuda, and then you had a drug store.
And on the corner and the other street, there was convenience store. Yeah. The one where the kids are there. The convenience store.
It was a drug store.
But
you're saying Harvard Street was a much quieter street.
Oh my gosh, you better believe it. So quiet.
Very commercial now.
Very commercial.
So many restaurants.
Oh, yeah. Lots of cars.
I think the reason was very quiet because there was all the family living in Harbor. There was not a big business thing. Besides a few stores, there was another. My brother-in-law became a bigger after because in the beginning, in the first floor, they wanted to open a barbershop. With my husband, it would be. Take care, and I have a picture of him, and then after the barbershop, they open a grocery store, something like this, but for a very small time. And then finally, he decided to give up and use the house for his own, and building in the back of the house all the magazine where he was working, because my brother-in-law was working with the wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did my bedroom when he donated, he gave to us for present when I got married.
Made your furniture, you mean?
He was an artist, my brother-in-law.
Handcrafted furniture.
Mm-hmm. I got a dining room table handcrafted with inlay. It was all done in inlay.
Yeah.
Oh, wood.
So he was a master.
And I have
part of my wedding gift.
By now it doesn't come to my mind. And the doors are with the design, with the house
inlay.
Stuff
inlay.
Like that.
He was very big with the inlay.
Yeah. And that's why it became, you know, very big, you know, and the friend asked him to teach at Ontario Art College because he was really an artist.
He was a master.
Yeah.
He was a master.
Very good, and, yeah. Many people in downtown, in the office, they have my brother-in-law work, like, you know, lawyer, office.
Well, I guess it's expensive to buy that if it's handmade and it's made slowly by one person. So that's why it would be lawyers. You could afford it.
That's right.
It's a little bit confusing because the way we say it to you, because there's a lot of things, you know, attached to the time, you know.
Attached to that time. Yeah.
Where did your children go to school? What schools did they go to?
No, our kids, when I left, they was already, you know, because when I left from Noia, I wanted to go and live in the States, in Chicago. My family was in the meantime immigrated there, you know. So I left Canada to the United States. Uh-huh. We stayed there 1 year, and my husband was working the bank again, because he used to work in the bank here too. So, but after 1 year we stayed in Italy, my husband decided to go back in Italy. It became like nostalgic about his own country. We go back in Italy now after 8 years after. And we went back in Italy for 1 year. We live there, and after you leave your country for many years, there is no way you can reconnect all the things, you know. So finally, we decided to come again in Canada, which was the best for us, you know. And I never regret. I'm very happy, you know.
So at that point, being back, the United States wasn't as good, and Italy wasn't as good for you.
Yeah, so Canada was, to me, was the best of the best at that time. And then, you know, when I came, and my older boy was six.
Yeah. And, so you didn't live in this neighborhood
and,
then?
Yeah, and they went to school to Sumero Angel on Dufferin and Davenport.
And what about Celia? Where did your children go to school?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. I don't remember the name, but they were in Bloor. They went to school at Bloor. I don't know what the name
was. Was it a special Catholic school?
It was Catholic school.
So they didn't go to the local school down here on Robert
Street? No.
They went to the local Catholic school across from, was it across from Onestad's? On Bathurst?
I think so.
Yeah, I think, was that, was it Loretta College?
No.
It's where they're making those big condos.
Yes, I don't know the name of it either.
Okay, but that's right. Where they went.
So they were still in the neighborhood.
Nick's family, all the boys, they went to Lord Lansdowne. I think Nick went for 1 year to the Catholic school, but the nuns were a little hard on him. So he went back to Lord Lansdowne.
I know. I remember when my son was high school, then when we moved, I let him go to the Catholic school. Then he says, that's enough. I don't want to go anymore. He wants to go to the public.
No, my kids, they went to Catholic, you know. Also, my oldest one went to St. Michael College. He graduated for there and went to university to St. Michael College, you know. And finished, he graduated, you know, and he has a 2 degree and he has a big job. The old one, the second one, he got this diploma too on St. Michael College, but the third one, I said, no way.
So what did he do?
He went to the school here for many years.
Central Tech?
Central Tech. And
he
introduced himself with the... He liked working with the hands, you know. And he has a good job. But like I say, you know, are different than the Archie brothers. You know what I mean? You know?
Yeah, one's not better or
worse. Doesn't really matter. Yeah. No, they are happy. This is the most important thing.
Well, and everybody has to work, so he found a way to find
George,
something
my oldest one, was naturally. Nobody pushed him to go so high in the school, you know. So the other one, you know, especially the little one, they finish school or they graduate and stuff like this. But they are happy.
My son is, he went to Shitsu Metal, he's a biggest businessman at Shitsu Metal, you know, for the furnace, so those things. My husband was doing this work.
Yeah, so got diploma for this job.
He went to school.
Shitsu Metal. So did your son take your husband's business?
Well, my husband was working for somebody else, but he didn't want to work for somebody else. He started with that job, but then he wants to...
He flourished.
For himself, he wanted to start, you know, my husband gave it help. And thank God he went big with that.
So your son's doing well. He's
doing well. Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. So. Actually, our kids, they are not too bad. Your kids, too, thank you God.
Not too bad.
No, we're not, we can't complain. They are good kids. You know,
I see that you have all kinds of pictures, and I'm wondering if you would like us to look at the pictures now, and then maybe the pictures will make you want to tell me some more stories. So I think what I might do is, first of all, I want to say to Victoria, to Celia, and to Sylvia, thank you very much. This has been so interesting to listen to. But what I'm going to do is put this on pause, and as we look at the pictures, you might want to tell me more. Unless there's something right now that we haven't talked about that... anything that we haven't talked about?
I don't know. It's the only big thing on Arbor was the harmony and the love we ever one to the other. We were not jealous even. You see today life and everyone, people got a house, and they even a relative, they got jealous about the house, I want to have more. But here, everybody was happy to what they have. We have a small house.
Didn't matter what they have.
And that's a really, we never was think about furniture, house. We were think about more with the value, think love, and
take care of the family, take care of the kids,
you know, and make sure that when the men come for work, found the food red at the table. You know what I mean? I don't know why. Don't you think?
We were used to the old style.
Still, we have a lot of fun too.
You had a lot of fun too. Celia, please repeat what you were saying.
We were used to, like our mother and father, they teach us how to do it. Take care of the house, take care of the kids, take care of the husband, you know. And so.
Tradition.
So you had, but you had good role models.
Role models.
That was the family's important and to be loving and to have a nice community and
exactly.
Be feeling
so. And for a long time, that's how it's going. And then. When you go to work, it's a different story. You know, you have to manage a different style. And different
so, did you
life.
Go to work too? I mean, Victoria talked about going to work. Did you do the same? Did you go to work?
Well, I worked for before I had the kids a little bit, and then I stopped. Growing up, the kids when they grew up, I went all day in school. I got bored, and so I went to work again. Mm-hmm. So, and I worked for a long time.
And what work did you do?
Well, I started with before when I started when I came in Toronto, like my brother-in-law introduced me to this factory that make toys, and I went on paper street. There we went all the way from Dundas all every day. Go with the buses and everything. So and he teach out to how I supposed to. George, take the buses, how to travel back and forth.
So George taught you that.
Oh, yeah, because when you reach here, what do you know? You don't know nothing. You can lose yourself. So he taught me how to do back and forth with the bus, what bus to take, what bus. And that's the first when I arrived here. Then I got married, like I said, and I had another little job for where they make stockings. Remember?
Oh my gosh, no. That's a Stagan business. It was my fun thing. I went to work there too. I was in a thing in the yet, so she took me with her in this job.
So I had that job for a while, and then what did I do after? Then we move, like I didn't work anymore. I grew up with the kids. When they go to work, school all day, then I went back to work and I did the work in a factory, make a sofa, a chest fill. So I was to work on the machine operator and sewing operator and do cushions and this thing. That's how I...
So you both stayed home, raised your children, and then you both went back to work.
Yeah, I went to work just a little bit too.
And then she went to work in the bank.
She took him in this factory to make nylons, right? You know, and in my life, you have to understand, in my life, I never knew how to do nothing because I was the little one in the family. I don't know nothing. My sister-in-law Maria, she teach me how to wash your clothes, do the food, you know, for your husband, you know. I was, but when I went to this factory, it was funny because over there you really have to work. I never know.
Nobody take you.
I was working in Italy, and I was a telephone operator. I was on my own. I was, you know. So when I went there, you know, they say you have to do this with the oh my God, you know. Thank you God, you know, with my way to treat the people. I make a friend there, you know, so much a friend. And the people, they used to, remember the Rosa, they used to give it to me a dozen of stockings already done to figure I was doing, you know. She was helping me too. Because
you couldn't do it fast enough.
And I can't, you know, then, you know, I...
So that must have been stressful for you.
Oh, my gosh.
But everybody was helpful.
But the funny part was my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, which they adore me, I adore them.